morning start here. There's a thought. Does anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get a worksheet? Just slip your hand up. Point over here. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up. If you live for the here and now, you're going to miss out on a lot of that's coming up in eternity. Let me say that again. If you just live for the here and now, there's a lot that God wants to have give us in eternity that I think we're going to miss out. Because we have what we want. If you're living for this world and you get with this world, then you have what you were looking for. Let's look here. In fact, I'll tell you what, let's pray first, because I got a feeling I'm going to start preaching. And I don't want to start preaching before I start praying. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this word. And thank you for the truths that are in it. Lord, I want our folks to rise up in the arms of faith. And living in the just living by the faith often means doing things differently than the rest of the world does. Maybe differently than we would assume it should be done. And what often looks like is going down is actually going up. And what looks like is going up is actually going down. And Lord, we need to see your word. So Lord, this is your disciples at times had questions. And even Jesus said, don't you understand this yet either yourselves? And so Lord, if they had difficulty, there's no wonder we have difficulty from time to time trying to understand these things. And Lord, we know that these words were not put down here randomly. These verses are not just a smattering of things thrown into one chapter. But Lord, these are things that go together. This is your word. And so Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand your word and see the principles that you are trying to convey to us. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit to be our guide in the truth. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse number 20. And remind you that we know about him, the Sermon on the Mount, but in verse number 17 it says, "And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of the Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast." And so this is where he's teaching this. So this is not the Sermon on the Mount. This is the Sermon on the Plain. So you say, well, it doesn't quite go along with the Sermon on the Mount because it's not the Sermon on the Mount. There are some things that are similar, but he's teaching us some different things here, that other things than what the Sermon on the Mount is trying to teach us. So don't try to put these together and then try to complain because you've got a discrepancy. There are no discrepancies in the Bible. If there's a discrepancy, it's because we didn't look at it close enough, or we didn't read it close enough, or we didn't study it close enough, or we're trying to put our truth into that thing. So let's just let it say what it says. And so let's start in verse 20. It says, "And he lifted up his eyes and on his disciples, and he said, Blessed be ye poor, all ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And you're going to be several things here. Let me say it this way. You're poor, that's okay. You can still feel blessed. You're still blessed because you get you got heaven coming. You know, okay, you don't have a whole lot right now. That's okay. You got heaven coming. That's better than I'd rather be poor for 70 years than have heaven for eternity than be rich for 70 years and be in hell. Or have missed out on a lot of the blessings of heaven when I could have had more. I think there's a little bit of that going on there too. So it says verse 21. He says, "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled." You might not have everything you want now, but you're going to have everything. "Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Listen, the Christian gets the last laugh when he gets to heaven. The whole world may be laughing at the Christian now, saying they're wasting their life now. They're not getting anything now. But the fact is, not that we're going to laugh at them. But you know, the Lord says, "I'll laugh at your calamity." In other words, we're going to look at it from the other side. Not that we're going to look down our nose, not that we're going to be glad that they didn't get anything, but the fact is, we're going to get there and we're going to be... Laughing is basically smiling out loud. And we're going to smile real wide out loud. Verse 22, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate from your company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day. And leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, and for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." So if they make fun of you, you're in good company. They make fun of the good prophets too. But look at verse 24. It's hit it from the other direction. But woe unto you that are rich. You've got your money now. This is what you're living for now. You've received your consolation. This is all the comfort you get. Woe unto you that are full. You feel very satisfied right now. But we don't know that we're poor and wretched and blind like the church in Laodicea. We don't realize that we're not ready to meet our Lord. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Listen, that's the opposite of rejoice when they reproach you for the Son of Man's sake. Listen, if the world isn't giving you a hard time for being a Christian, you probably aren't obviously a Christian. Now, you don't have to go out there looking for trouble. And you don't have to have trouble all the time. We live in a relatively society that is willing to put up with Christians. But, you know, we think we're getting persecuted because somebody at work looks at us funny or talks behind our back because we're a Christian. Aren't we? We're just getting such a bad take on all this, aren't we? We just have a hard time. They said something they mean about me. Well, have they cut you off, you cut your head off yet? Rejoice. Verse 27. But I say unto you which hear. He said, if you're willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. That doesn't make any sense. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. That doesn't make sense. Not to the human person, the human mind. Unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. What's he saying? We're not living for this world. We're living for eternity. The actions that we take have far greater ramifications than right now. And even if we're living for right now, we're making decisions that's going to have long, eternal ramifications. Verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. So why need them? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And by the way, we don't need them in heaven. He'll have everything we need there. The ideas are principles. Not saying you give everything away that they ask necessarily, but there's a principle of life here. Verse 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. There's a good one. If you haven't started that, that's the basis of Christian life. You wouldn't want somebody to beat you up. Don't beat anybody up. You wouldn't want anybody railing on you. Don't rail on. Well, they railed on me first. Yes, and when Jesus was railed, he didn't return it. Verse 32, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. So in other words, he says, you're supposed to be God's children. In fact, if you look at verse 35, it says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. He says, if you love them that love you, that's really no big deal. God is not impressed. That's really who we're living for, right? So we love those. I was real nice to him. Yeah, but he was real nice to you. I mean, that's all fine and dandy, but that's not really all impressive. Now, if you get somebody go spit in your eye or this or that and the other thing, and all of a sudden you're willing to take it, pardon the personal illustration. I think I used this a few weeks ago, but when we were looking to get, I think they were the cabinets that went into room 118 over here. I think it's where they were. And we ordered those and ordered them, waited and didn't come. I ordered them down here at Lowe's and I thought they were going to come, and they said they called me when they came in and just didn't come in. They come in. So finally went down there and I stopped and said, we're looking for these cabinets. I haven't heard anything from them. Well, they've been here for 3 months. We've been waiting for you to come get them. And I said, well, I didn't know they were here. And there, we had a little conversation. And after a while, the lady that he was actually helping at the at his countertop there, helping her design her kitchen, she looked at me. And they went back to check and see where they were. She looked at me. She said, are you a pastor? Now, I wasn't dressed like this. I was dressed, it was a Thursday. I was on my day off, and I had a work shirt and a pair of jeans on, and I was out, and I just thought, well, I'd stop by and see how they were going. She said, are you a pastor? And I said, yeah, as you know. He says, I like the way you handled that. Because, you know, you could get upset. And I hate to say it, I haven't always done real well. But anyway, we're moving on. And if it says, so if, verse 33, if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? What big deal is that? For sinners also do even the same. So we're no better than the sinners. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, in other words, you want some kickback on it, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. From who? From the Lord. Now, it may be some things that comes by way of this realm through some person. They may have seen what happened. They may not have seen what happened. That's not the deal. The deal is God sees what happens. God sees the heart. It's not the little boy who's at Thanksgiving doing his prayers and praying for what he's going to get for Christmas. Lord, I want a skateboard. And Lord, I just hope you give me this. And finally, the dad said, he says, shh. God's not deaf. God's not hard of hearing. He says, I know, but grandma is. And sometimes we pray, hoping that somebody's going to hear. We have a prayer request, and really it's not a prayer request to God, it's a prayer request to the church, hoping somebody's going to hear and feel sorry for them. Now, that may happen, and your heart might even been in the right stead when it happened, but God also knows when our heart is trying to pray to everybody else and we're not praying to the Lord. You know, it's actually possible to live by faith. And if you look at what we're talking about here, most of this says is going the opposite direction of what makes sense to human nature. So watch, it says, verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind. Who? The Lord of the highest. He's kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore, what? Merciful. As your Father also is merciful. That's what I'm talking about. That's how you love your enemies. Merciful. It's mercy. They don't deserve it. Why should I? Who said they deserved it? Who said we deserved it? We are alive by mercy. God provides our needs by mercy. Why should we give any less to those around us? Listen, what did he say? If do to them as you'd have them do to you. You want God to give you mercy. Well, then maybe we need to be giving some mercy. Hang tight with me here. On your paper, I filled in some for you. And so from this point on, let me kind of run this through with you. I can spend a lot of time. Number one, our habits reveal our hearts. We learned that a few weeks ago. Our habits reveal our hearts. And this is what he's talking about here. You see, he's not telling us to live by works in all this passage I just went through. What he's doing is saying this reveals who we are. Are we regenerated Christians? Are we becoming like Christ? Or are we still living in the flesh? This reveals who we are. Are you a giver or a taker? And giving and taking doesn't necessarily mean tangible items. You ready? He said, verse 36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Now, he's going to explain a little bit here. It says, judge not, ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, ye shall not be condemned. Hey, forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Merciful doesn't sit here and judge. It isn't judge, jury, and executioner. merciful doesn't sit here and condemn. You know where they ought to be. See, that heart doesn't do that. Forgiveness, that's merciful. But watch. So he says in verse 36, be merciful. 37 says, don't judge, don't condemn, but forgive. Verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down. Now don't sit there and say, well, he's talking about giving away things now. How about he's giving away mercy? He's giving forgiveness. You give, and it's going to come back. Now hang tight with me. So, number one, our habits reveal our heart. Number two, if we extend true mercy, we will receive true mercy. From who? From the Lord. Now, we may get it from other people, too. They may give us a break, but the fact is, we're getting mercy. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I'm going to say it because if I don't, we're not going to get finished. If I do not forgive, and of course, forgiving is extending mercy. If I refuse to forgive, I'm sinning. God doesn't bless sin. If I refuse to forgive, I refuse to extend the mercy, and you know what? We know when we probably should, and we're sitting in our heart justifying this and justifying, well, no one else would have done this. Well, you know, it's really worse than most people have to deal with. Well, you know how it is. We've got all that in there. You know what we're doing? We're regarding iniquity in our heart. And the Lord says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I'm going to ask for forgiveness, I'm talking to a brick wall. Why does it say in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us? Because if we don't forgive those who trespass against us, we're regarding iniquity in our heart. And God's not even interested. A few weeks ago when we talked about that parable, and Jesus said, he talked about a man who came to a king who owed 10,000 talents. Well, that was ridiculous. It's millions of dollars, and the guy said, forget it. I forgive you. Next time he goes out and he grabs somebody a neck for $5 and word gets back to the king and says, listen, if that's the way you are, you don't deserve mercy because you don't know anything about mercy. You don't know a thing about mercy. Toss him out of here. Number three, if we judge and condemn, we can expect to be judged and condemned. We're not the authority. And those who are blinded by the sin do not see well enough to recognize sin. He says, don't go around here. Listen, if we're not forgiving, we're sinning. Sin blinds us. So the fact is, we will see ourselves as good, our hearts deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who could know it? Well, the Lord knows it. We see everybody else's sin, and we're out there condemning them. But the fact is, as long as we're out here condemning everybody else, we're going to feel the condemnation of God. But listen, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. We're condemned already. But why are they condemned? Because they love darkness rather than light. They want to live in their sin rather than to walk in the light of the Lord. You follow what I'm saying here? So the fact is, when we don't forgive, we're living in sin. And yet we're asking God to forgive us of the sin, but we're not even confessing it as sin. Now, when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what happens if we aren't confessing, seeing sin, confessing, seeing it as God sees it? If we're not willing to see it as God sees it, we're not confessing it. We're still in our sin. God's still judging us because we're judging others. I understand. Well, watch me. Real quick here. Just to clarify something. Somebody said, well, you know, this person was doing wrong, so I just pretend they're not doing wrong. No, I'm not saying that. But not necessarily if it's not in your realm. Now, if it's your child, you may need to reprove them. But if it's a guy who sits across the pew from you, it may not be your business to go in there and tell that guy how to run his household. Now, you live and let God bless you and let them say, you know, I wish I had what they had. And you know what? The Lord can work it out. The Lord works out the time. He works out the heart. He works out what he's doing in their life. It may be the preaching. It may be your life. It may be your testimony. And between the two, they're going to say, I got to have what they have. And you ought to be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. And there's nothing wrong with you walk up to somebody, you want to lead them to the Lord, don't stand there and just start counting off their sins. But I tell you what you can say, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means I'm a sinner. It means these people, in fact, it means we're all sinners, aren't we? We're compared to God, we come up sinners. I come up short. They know that. Sometimes we feel like we have to be the Holy Spirit. God didn't ask us to be the Holy Spirit. We're the vessel of the Holy Spirit. And we ought to be clean vessels. So the Holy Spirit isn't distasteful, but served up and tasteful. That they're going to say that when you say taste and see the Lord is good, they want to taste. But he says, and let us see, those who are blinded by their sins do not see well enough to recognize their sins. We're out here trying to tell everybody else what to do. Letter E, Jesus did not come to condemn, but to deliver. And we talked about that. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, if anybody has the right to go around pointing out all our sins, it was Jesus. But the fact is, everybody around him was pointing out the sins of the people he was running with.
If you knew who she was, you wouldn't be letting her do that. If you knew who these people were, you wouldn't be having dinner with them. If you knew,
they know. Now, a Sunday night, how is the sin manifested? Turn on the light. Let your light so shine before men may see your good works and glorify the Father. Turn on your light. Live the Word of God. Let the Word of God come out as just a normal part. But you go around here trying to condemn and judge, you can get yourself in trouble. And besides the fact, you're not doing them any good. Now, last thing I said last week was, a rotten apple cannot cure another rotten apple. If we're full of sin, judging, condemning, we're not going to do anybody else any good. Because we're full of sin. God's not going to bless that sin. We are one rotten apple trying to cure another rotten apple. Only God can regenerate and make new. All right, number four. We'll finish up here. Number four. Here's a blank. If we forgive, we will experience forgiveness. If we forgive, we will experience forgiveness. That verse says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Now, that judge means to be judge, juror, and executioner. He says, don't go around trying to be the one that's got the authority to tell everybody what they're doing. No. Condemn not. Don't go around there just trying to tell everybody what they're doing wrong. He says, here's what we're supposed to do. Notice there's a colon there. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. That word forgiven there means to free fully, to relieve, to release, to dismiss the case, to release them from their legal obligation to you. Forgive. Well, they just got off. How many people are going to heaven because of something you did? You got off. Boy, you got a deal. Well, you know how we get that deal? When we throw ourselves at the mercy of the judge. And the judge who is merciful extends the mercy. That's how we get salvation. That's how we get life. He says, listen, you forgive. You know what happens? Listen, when you finally forgive somebody, do you know what you're saying? Really, you're saying, you're saying the same thing Christ said. But you're also saying, I have no right to judge you, condemn you. I have enough of my own sins to care about. I don't need to go around pointing out your sins. I've had people say, well, Pastor, didn't you see so-and-so do so-and-so?
Oh, I didn't. I was too busy trying to greet folks and talk to them and sing the songs and preach the message. And you didn't see them?
No, I didn't see them.
Because that's not what I'm seeing. I want to see the souls, and I want them to see Jesus. Now, if I got some leadership and there's a problem and they're not quite meeting up to some leadership requirements, well, okay, then we need to deal with that.
But I also don't have to stand up. I don't have to string the person up here and air dirty laundry all over to all the world either. I'll be honest with you. Some people think I'm a little weak. I don't go around churching people, as they say. I mean, stand in front of them and tell them what they did wrong. Listen, the more public it is, the more public we have to deal with it. But it's really nobody else's business and nobody else knows. Let's take them to the Lord and let him forgive them. You know what? You know what David says, against you and you only have I sinned. Psalm 51. If there's an obvious thing, well, then maybe we need to deal with it. But we can still keep it as confined as we can. When did Jesus take a sinner and hold him up and say, no, just so you know, she's a prostitute. Listen, when the disciples came back to the woman at the well, they were surprised he was even talking to her. He didn't say, just so you know, guys, she's had five husbands. The one she has isn't her husband. Just want you to know that. And I'm not endorsing that. He didn't do that. And then he let that woman go out and tell the town. And she brings out all these other people out of town. I'm not saying hide sin. I'm saying deal with it. But let's deal with it in a proper context. Listen, forgive. And you will be forgiven. Look what it's, letter B. If we withhold forgiveness, you would expect the Lord to withhold forgiveness. If we are withholding forgiveness, then we must be withholding mercy. Matthew 6:12 says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who forgive our debtors. To not extend mercy is a sin. And if we don't repent of our sin and refuse to extend that mercy, we're regarding that iniquity. I talked about that. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful, just forgive. To know to do good, not to do it is sin. Well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Well, we don't deserve God's forgiveness. As soon as we talk about what we deserve, we're in trouble. Because usually we think we deserve something better than we have, but what we deserve is hell. If you, number three there, the Lord deals with us according to our hearts. Letter B, number three there. The Lord deals with us according to our hearts. Not just our actions on the outside, but according to our hearts. Now, what we believe will show up in our actions eventually. If you want to know, number four, if you want to know how God is dealing with you, look how you are dealing with others and you will see. So I don't know, something just doesn't seem right. I don't know why God, I just don't feel like God's blessing or something's wrong here. You see, if you want to know how God is dealing with you, you look and see how you're dealing with others, and that's what you're going to get. If you're not into forgiveness, don't expect God to extend forgiveness toward us. Number five, if we offer good toward others, we can expect to see good come in return as a general rule. If we give freely to others such things as mercy and grace and forgiveness, we will see it come back our way in a great way. The fact is, that may mean the blessings of the Lord are on hold until we deal with this forgiveness problem. If we've got some kind of bitterness, we've got some kind of problem, we're just not willing to forgive, listen, you can pretty well expect that God's going to kind of hold back. You say, well, I still have everything I need. Yeah, but we already read that he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Up here. Yeah, what was that? That was verse number 35. But if you want to see God's hand on your life, we need to live like God expects us to live. That's like Christ. And that's only through him. If we're extending mercy, we will probably see it come back in our way. Not only from others, but more importantly from God and how he works in our lives. And I think many people complain about how God is dealing with them in their own lives, and then they perceive to point out the failures of others as if God deals with them in comparison to others. God deals with us in comparison to how we deal with others. That's what that parable said. The king forgave him 10,000 talents, but he couldn't forgive $5. So he deals with them in the way that fellow dealt with the guy who owed him $5. We are individually measured, watch, by the word of God and not by the actions of other men. See, we say, well, look how all their problem is. Well, I'm not that bad. That doesn't impress God one iota. First of all, that's not the way he lived. He didn't condemn. He didn't come to condemn. What are we doing condemning? We condemn and call it righteousness. Actually, when we condemn, he calls it sin. We are individually measured by the word of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we're not willing to live by that, we're going to see God deal with us as we deal with it. Point number six. God's response is in greater measure than what we offer. God's response is in greater measure than what we offer. Now, then we go back to these two verses. I said this earlier, I'm almost done here. He says, verse 36, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also was merciful. Judge not, condemn not, forgive. Verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you. And the context is giving mercy, giving love, being a giving, not a taker, being a giver. He says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet wherewith shall be measured to you again. The fact is, you're going to see it come back. Watch. You say, well, what do you mean? You sure that means give? For God so loved the world that he, why did he give? And because of his mercy. The only reason he gave is because his love is in the verse. And why did he? And how could he love us? Only by his mercy. That saves us from hell. But for by grace we're saved through faith. And grace, he not only takes hell away, but he gives us heaven. He says, give, verse 38, number 6 there, and it shall be given unto you good measure. That means a valuable portion, enough to be noticed. Pressed down, that means to pack it down, to squeeze as much in as possible. Shaken together, to fill all the holes. And running over to pour it on until there's more than you can hold. Shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You know what? I started this way back, and there was a verse I gave, and came out of, let me see here, out of Galatians 6. Be ye not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow the flesh, you're going to reap the flesh. You sow to corruption. The flesh is corrupt. You're going to reap that more corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you reap eternal. Life eternal. You may show mercy to others, but God still shows greater mercy to us. We may be kind to others, but God is much more kind to us here and in eternity. We may be kind to someone that never returns the favor, But the favor will then be returned from some other source that we're not even expecting. And it's going to be more than we ever gave. That's living by faith. Because, you know, even Christians, look at that first passage there in beginning verse 20, going down through there. You know, you're giving everything away. You're giving all your rights away. And listen, it doesn't mean that you don't deal with those things. It's saying living in the attitude that's about giving, not receiving. Because God will take care of me. 2 Corinthians 9, I think you have in there and we'll be done. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now that may mean money, but it may mean giving grace and mercy. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Well, if I give everything away, if I do this and this, well, you know, I can't do that because I won't be able to do the Lord's work. That's doing the Lord's work. If you're doing the Lord's work, he's going to give you more to do it with. Not less. I mean, if someone sees you and they say, well, you know what, you must be a Christian. Now, I don't think it's just the hair. But I get asked quite often, are you a pastor or are you a Christian? It's not Sterling Walsh. I'm just simply saying, well, he says do this, so I got to do it. Now, am I perfect? No, I'm not. You folks have been around here long enough know that I'm not. But if I realize I've done wrong, I try to make it right. I try to apologize. Sometimes I don't know what I did wrong. I'm kind of stupid sometimes, you know. I mean, I told you there's not a whole lot up here. But I do my best. And the Lord knows has your purpose in your heart. See, I said earlier, he deals with us after our heart. Now, if you say, well, I don't want to learn the Word of God because then I'll know something and I'll actually be responsible for it. Then he knows that too. You're stuck. He who hath begun a good work shall perform until the day of Jesus Christ. He wants you to grow, and he's expecting you to grow. You can't say, well, I'm going to sleep through the message because I don't want to know, because if I know, then I'm responsible to have to live that way. No. No. All right. Summary. Here's our summary. Ready? We get what we give. We get what we give. Please excuse this. I came up here and I had someone tell me, he said, you know, folks at York County are pretty hard. And he said, don't expect everybody to give you a hug. So help me. I have been hugged more since I've moved to York County than my whole life. Men, ladies, kids, old, young, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of shaped like a teddy bear or something, or they want to figure out what this thing actually feels like. I don't know. But I'm just saying, you reap what you sow. Now, I'm not perfect. And there's times when I got a hard head like everybody else. I'm just saying in general. Letter B, if we give criticism, we will get criticism. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. When you get criticized, what's your first thought as far as response? Show them where they're wrong. Right? But a soft answer turneth away wrath. Let us see. If we give judgment, we can expect judgment. Letter D. If we condemn, we can expect condemnation. can expect it. I'm not saying we don't have to talk or preach the truth. We preach the truth. That's what the Word of God is. But listen, that's my job as a pastor, edify the body. And you may have a position as a Sunday school teacher, maybe some things you do. You've got your own kids. You got to run your life, your wife, your family, but in a nice way, in a loving way, no matter how it is that we do it. Letter E, if we forgive, God forgives, and we are more likely to be forgiven by others, is what I'm talking about there. Letter F, if we give, it will come back in proportion to our giving. Our verse says there, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You give a lot, you're going to get a lot. It's going to come back. This is living by faith. So I'm saved. The just are to live by faith. The ones who are already justified are to live by faith. Come out from among them, he said to Abraham, and be ye separate, and I will be a father unto you. Good. But the whole time he was out there, he had to live by faith. And faith means, a lot of times, not dealing with everybody else like we're God. Extending mercy. Love. And doing unto them as you wish they would do unto you. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We get what we give. We get what we give. Lord, that's the rule. We reap what we sow. And the more we reap, the more we sow, the more we'll reap. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see the live as you would have us live. Live like Christ. To give, to be merciful. Didn't mean we don't stand for truth. Love doesn't rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. A lot of folks didn't like Jesus because they felt condemned, but he was simply shining the light. Didn't say anything, just simply wasn't pointing everybody else's faults necessarily, just giving truth. And sometimes that's what we do. And we may be persecuted, but Lord, let's not fight back. That's love. They're not the enemy. They're the victim of the enemy. Lord, use us. Speak to our hearts. And thank you for these dear folks. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's take our hymn book and...